feeling.
Boston. And you may have noted, Katie, that apart from saying that our next correspondent is a zipwire soul, I've kind of been very hesitant because I don't want to say, how are you? In the hospital with my leg in plaster, and it's just been a whole problematic thing from that point of view. I'm on the wire now. Singer and general all-round wonderful ambassador for So Festival and more, Eva MacDonald. How are you, and have you done the Zipwire Challenge in Wales?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, I have. We did it yesterday, and it was at 1 o'clock, and it was very scary, but it's also very fun.
Very scary, but also very fun. Katie, have you ever decided, I mean, obviously Boris Johnson perhaps led the way, some might say, in taking that zipwire momentous moment. But did you stop halfway down the zipwire, Kate, Eva? Was it something where you sort of, I'll just pose now and actually sort of, one for the cameras.
No, you go right from the top all the way to the bottom, and if it stops halfway, then that's a malfunction. So thankfully it didn't do that. And it was very fast.
Whereabouts in Wales was it?
It's a place called... my friend told me how to pronounce this because I was pronouncing it wrong. Betsy Coyd.
Betsy Coyd. Betsy Coyd.
Exactly. And I've been saying Betsy Coed.
Do you know, listen, Eva, this is something because I used to say it was Betsy Coed until I was actually looked at sternly by a Welsh person and says Betsy Coyd.
Okay.
So I feel, I mean, it's a bit like pasty and pasty. We don't want to get those two terms confused, otherwise, who knows what could happen. But yes, Betsy Coed. Betsy Coed. B E T Y S and then a Y and then a C O E D, as far as I recall, in terms of the spelling.
Yeah, that's where it was. And then I'm currently in Llandudno. We're coming back tomorrow.
Well, it's a way forward. So, would you do it again? Did you do? I mean, is it something you'd recommend, for instance, to Philip Hammond Williams to actually say, you know, it's time for you took the zipwire?
Is this the former slate quarry?
Do you know what? Like, I said that it would only be something that I'd do on my bucket list, and I'd only do it once because it was really scary. But actually, I really enjoyed it, and I want to go back and do it again. So, yes, I would.
He's just like the Teletubbies. Again.
Again.
Katie, we didn't quite get to your response in terms of my thought. Have you ever considered doing a zipwire event? Or have you
ever? I've never done a zipwire challenge because I am incredibly accident prone.
Oh. Well, this is why I suggested it, obviously. And I thought, you know.
Thanks, Alex. Yes.
Well, the safety and precautions were presumably in place, Eva. So,
is it Katie proof? Basically,
exactly. Is it Katie proof?
I think it is Katie proof. Yes, they do a lot of checks on it. So, hopefully, they are Katie proof for that.
Well, we would sincerely hope so, because, I mean, let's face it, you are now demonstrating and clearly generating a reputation, Eva, as being our official action girl. I mean, in the summer, Phil, Eva was having knives thrown at her in Skegness by apparent entertainers, you know? So
knives and a zip wire. Yeah. Next will be fire juggling.
I mean, these are all things I'm trying to introduce into the new incarnation of the Communications and Public Relations degree, obviously, but I think one or two health and safety challenges for undergraduate students.
Wave it through, it's fine. If they sign a waiver, it's all good.
Well, precisely. What's the next thing you're looking to do then, Eva? I mean, obviously you've done Betsy Coyd, you're doing Llandudno, you're already gearing up for your summer season, which is not going to be Skegness, but it's going to be about 20 miles north of Skegness.
Sunnydale is, I think, it's a bit further up. It's near Mablethorpe, a place called Saltfleet. My geography's not great, but I think that is up north somewhere.
So, I mean, Philip, you're nodding very safely when you say Saltfleet. Does it have a resonance for yourself? Is there other tips we can provide for Eva to sort of say, beware this particular aspect of Saltfleet?
In a former incarnation, I worked for the Church of England in Lincolnshire.
Mm-hmm.
And one got to know all these tiny little places.
Faraway places, same-sounding
so
names.
Saltfleet by, as it's known. Is certainly
by what,
firmly there, embedded in memory. Absolutely, it's a wonderful place.
And of course, Sunnydale, I just thought, well, watch out for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because clearly it's the whole heart of all manner of things. Yeah. I think it was based in Lincoln, but it was amazing. And what, again, will you be doing in Saltfleet, or indeed Saltfleet by?
So this year, I am known as a trooper vocalist. Last year, I was a trooper host on the entertainment team. So it's the generic children's activities in the daytime, but in the evenings you are in the shows and you're also doing your cabarets as well as the kids' disco time, which is called Starland Crazy. And then bingo and whatever else, really. Late Night Hub, which is a bit of disco time again. That is the overview of what we'll be doing. But, of course,
who
the
knows?
Nice phone will probably exactly. be in there as well.
You have to go with the Chuckle Brothers. You have to go with Chico time. It's
just, no.
However, this year, Katie, you'd be pleased to know that I have promised Eva that, unlike last year where I kind of said we'll try and get over to see you in Skegness, we're going to have a midweek drive-out visit to see Eva in Saltfleet Vibe, so hopefully if you're up
great.
For that, you know, it shows that support.
That
see.
Sounds fab.
I'm going to Wales, but I thought, no, it's, you know, you can only
bit
have
far.
One. Well, yeah, at this particular moment in time, we thought we'd hold fire on that particular side of things. Now, have you put up videos on Facebook and such like? Did you manage to get a camera of the whole event as you were going down, or was it a case of, no, you can't have that camera on there, it's far too expensive?
Do you know what? I did get a camera, and it was like a GoPro, you could rent them out. And really cheaply rent them out as well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have a little camera on my head, yeah. And I have recorded it.
Whoa.
I've not watched the videos yet.
No.
We were going to do that in a minute. So depending on how they turn out, I will upload them.
Well, you see, that's why you would obviously say, Phil, Facebook is a funny place. It's very sort of zip-wire scenarios on that basis. Eva, it's been fabulous connecting with your good self, and at least well done on surviving that whole procedure, because, you know,
that was the main thing.
As Katie was saying, and William Coles, etc., with Hannah and Tessa not able to make it, you know, we have to cherish each midweek drive-out. You know, we can't, you know, run the risk of losing people randomly falling off a zip-wire in Wales. That's not an option.
That'd be the first.
You know? Please. So I'll let Katie throw those two questions at you. Go, Katie.
Eva, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have had a very interesting telephonic link, thank you.
And will you be able to join us again soon?
Of course.
Yay!
as if we could ever be over anybody, even if we're over some kind of gorge in Battersea Coed. Once you actually know how to say it, and once you actually have the Welsh pronunciation, one finds actually one almost keeps saying it. I don't know if you noticed that, or is it just me, Katie?
Might just be you,
yeah,
Alex.
Yeah, it's fine, it's okay. Anyway, moving on. Philip, we're going to be saying au revoir to your good self in a few moments, and farewell, our vida say. But we want to wrap up with details of how people can actually support the fabulous scenario we've been talking about so far, Lincoln Big Soup. If you missed it, don't forget to download the podcast, have a listen to that as well. Would you like to share with us those final details, please?
So, if you have a project that you would like to pitch, just email compassionatelincoln@gmail.com, and we can be in touch over that one.
Brilliant. Compassion.
If you want to come along, it's at Lincoln Drill Hall at 11:30 on Saturday, the 24th of February. There is a link on the Lincoln Drill Hall site, and everyone would be hugely welcome.
We might indeed have a word with that wonderful Ryan Jones and see if he could send some Ross Iron people to actually
do it. It would be great.
No promises, because he's very busy. Who knows what could actually happen on that side of things, but just might be a possibility.
No, that would be lovely. That would be very, very welcome.
And obviously we'll speak to Signet and a variety of other folk as well, so we can keep promoting that. Before you go, we'll be taking a few photographs of yourself with Katie in the studio. Don't worry, they're not compromising. We don't do that sort of thing here at Siren Radio. We're still trying to actually reach Larry. In fact, all being well, we can say Larry Nemechek. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Whoa. It's wonderful when you can call somebody up in California through the auspices of this whole system and say you're online, offline, and so on. And I can actually say you are, quite frankly, Larry, frighteningly handsome. Sorry. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this, but whilst Phil Hamlin-Williams is still here before he wishes us farewell, is this week on the whole Star Trek routine and Star Trek files, share with us what magical things did you get hold of, which also, in terms of the descriptors, includes some terms which, in Cadet Helen Joyce, for instance, under the steady hand of Lieutenant Commander Kincaid, Cadet Joyce operates as ship's helmsman and weapons officer. So far, so good. Mm-hmm. Painfully beautiful. Joyce is still fighting the timeless battle of trying to be taken seriously while looking as lovely as she does. It's your life story, Katie, isn't it? Painfully beautiful.
It's cringeworthy. It's cringeworthy.
Painfully handsome. How did you get hold of this, Larry? What is it? What we're going to be talking about over the next few moments as well with the collection and so on?
You're reading from something from 1986, and it is a timeless battle. See, you're still making fun of her for being painfully beautiful. See, it's timeless.
Precisely. Don't get me started on Cadet Commander Brick or indeed Lieutenant Commander Horatio Gage.
Commander Brick.
Yeah. Cadet Commander Brick.
Well.
Yeah.
Dynamic name.
And at Journey's End, Mr. Brick will be appointed executive officer of the USS Odyssey. If Richard Kincaid has only one mission in life, it is to infuse the brilliant young Mr. Brick with some of the human qualities that made Captain Ron the great individual he was.
Captain Ron?
I'm going to pass this over to you, Katie, so you can have a little perusal through the pilot premise and the officers and cadets and the whole thing.
I see you made you must have made a copy then.
I'm afraid I had to.
That's what it's for.
I had to sort of publish this out because this is, I mean, I'd heard rumours about why Roddenberry had actually said, I can't be doing with that, I've got to sort of go away next year. Philip, before you go, Star Trek The Next Generation fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't have been the same as opposed to Picard if you actually had Commander Brick in there and indeed Captain Ron.
Larry, I need to know. I saw on Twitter over Christmas the image of Picard, of Patrick Stewart in a wig that was apparently an early wardrobe test. Mm. Is it genuine?
Okay, well, it is and it isn't because A, yes, he did do an early test with his wig on. But B, that photo is from an episode where they did a flashback of him as a young man. So that is not him in the wig that he auditioned in at one point.
Kind of yes and no.
Well,
it's a yes and a no. It's the best answer.
Exactly.
And so sometimes, that's one of those little hit machines that, you know, a clickbait thing that gets all kinds of attention. Somebody finally said, this is from about the sixth season, guys. But the story is true. Mm.
But the story of how you access, and you have obviously, I mean, this is legit. This is actually the Roddenberry Estate who've effectively provided you with full, obviously together with a whole range of things, full access to Star Trek The Next Generation and more details. Just to set the scene for that, so that when Philip Hamlin Williams leaves, he knows exactly what to go on Facebook to look for in terms of the Star Trek files.
That is true. So I don't know how much you set your audience up there, so like, but no, when Rod Roddenberry came to me about doing this podcast about his father's papers from, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and we call it the Trek Files, and now it's out every week on Tuesday, we have the and it's 15 minutes, so it's just a 15-minute podcast with a guest. But the document that we talk about in question, whether it's a page or it's 10 pages or whatever, as you found, is there on site also. So everybody can read along and download it if they want to, print it out. And this is, I think of all the things in the first 16 or so episodes, this is the one that's the most amazing. It's a moment in time I'd always heard about, but I didn't really visualize that they were going to go on and do Next Generation without me. And I finally said, oh, okay. And this was apparently the fish or cut bait moment here, that they actually developed a show, a premise, and he said, oh, no, I'll come back and do it. I won't just sit home and take my percentage. I'll actually come in and, you know, of course he passed away 5 years later, but at the time, this was what finally pushed him off dead center and convinced him to get hands on and come up with Picard and Data and Worf. And everything that we know.
I was fortunate enough to meet Gene Roddenberry in 1984, so probably around that time when he was thinking, do I go back, do I not go back, and so on that perspective. I mean, Katie, you, to quote Larry from the actual podcast itself, you will almost fall off your chair when you actually see some of the descriptions, allowing for the fact it's set in time, etc. Do you think Gene Roddenberry was right to say, this is not Star Trek, I'm taking command again?
I'm glad he stepped in. I mean, I'm reading Dr. Karen Hart. As bright as she is attractive, Karen still has to learn to trust her instincts.
Oh.
I mean...
yeah. Not quite Beverly Crusher, is it?
Not really. Not really. As, I mean, there is more to her character there that, you know, I've not... But yes, it's perhaps not the fleshed-out, wonderful individuals and people that we know from the Next Generation.
But here's the amazing thing. On the other hand, we cringe at these descriptions of the women. But on the other hand... This is you can read the Next Gen Bible in the first season, and there's some in the original series Bibles, and there are a couple of cringeworthy moments. It's amazing to me that this is 1986 Star Trek. This is the time of the Voyage Home, the fourth movie with the whales. Yeah. So there's no, you know, there's nothing, there's no Cardassians and Majorans, there's no Borg, there's not even, you know, Paklids and Ferengi and whatever. And so basically Star Trek was Federation and Klingons and Romulans, and the Federation was humans and Vulcans. So, I mean, they did use their elements, and it's not so crazy out in left field. And then there's things in here that even remind you about Discovery if you start thinking about it. Did you notice that?
The Klingon presence is very much there, and the Envoy and a variety. Larry, heaps of stuff there. Heaps of stuff to talk about. If you're kind enough to stick with us, we're going to be speaking to the Doctor from Doctor and the Medics in a few moments, but we also have to say farewell and hail, good sir, to Philip. Philip, have you enjoyed your time on the programme today? And has that Star Trek thing left you with a little bit of a case of wanting some more?
I have, and I have to say, about 10 years ago, I did an MA in professional writing.
Mm-hmm.
One of our modules was screenwriting.
Yeah.
And this is really bringing tears to my eyes.
It's choice material. Exactly.
It is a privilege.
So there we are, you see, another little added bonus. And Philip, we will see you again in the very near future, no doubt.
I look forward to it.
Excellent. To take us round to Doctor from Doctor and the Medics, something you may just have heard of. Larry, stay with us. We're keeping the Trek theme going after a fashion. It's a spirit in the sky.
To the spirit in the sky, going on up to the spirit.
awesome in so many magical ways. Clearly it actually opens up a whole range of things and memories going back to Spirit in the Sky. And yes, we can now say that the Reverend Dr. Clive Jackson, the creator of Doctor and the Medics, back in the hedonistic days of yuppies, chunky mobile phones and new romanticism, or indeed when Star Trek The Next Generation was being made, is with us. Clive, how are you?
Hello there, I'm very well, thank you. What a wonderful introduction.
It's very important. And we can also introduce you not only to our co-host in the studio, that's Katie Dorr.
Hello there.
Hello.
But also to the awesomely legendary Dr. Trek himself, that would be Star Trek guru and general around fine soul in California at present, Larry Nemechek.
Oh, hello there. Incredibly honoured. Hello.
so there we are. Now, Larry, I mean, did Doctor and the Medics and Spirit in the Sky cross the Atlantic Ocean? Did it cross the divide? Were you familiar with that particular number?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. On all its levels.
Yeah. Every single level is actually there. Well, we've got another track coming up later in a few moments' time with respect to Spin Me Round. But this latest thing we're here to talk about, Clive, is fascinating. I mean, in all sorts of ways. We're talking about Possessed, to be precise. And we're talking about the Medics taking their place on stage as virtual characters in tandem with a multimedia production, which, in the words of the awesome Manila PR, is Edgar Allan Poe reimagined by Mike Bennett, the reworks of Poe against a backdrop of all castrated goth music.
That's all very correct and accurate, actually.
You see, Katie,
and,
it is
yes.
Castrated goth music.
We've just started rehearsals now. In fact, I'm in Manchester now and we're rehearsing. I've been working on the script for a couple of weeks, but it is a rather clever piece that, as you say, Mike Bennett has written. It's a reimagining of Poe's work, and it's kind of bringing in the elements that we're all very well aware of from Poe, the raven and the cat and all that, and a rare and not so well-known piece on nosology, which is quite bizarre, but it also ties in with Poe's life. So it weaves in and out of Poe's life and all the references with Poe. And, of course, it lends itself to the gothic theme perfectly because, you know, when I started, back in the day in the 80s and writing songs, that there was a bit of Poe in there, imagery, you know, a bit of surreal imagery and dark gothic elements, and we were quite a pre-goth band.
Every time I saw Doctor and the Medics on Top of the Pops, I was expecting a raven to just pop out of the presenter somewhere, you know, some kind of tapping.
You flattered me beyond words. We would have loved to have done that, but that would have been very Doctor and the Medics. So we've kind of come round full circle, in a way. And for me to do this, It's a first thing I've done in a West End theatre on stage, and for it to be something like this, it's very Doctor and the Medics, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
It's awesome. I mean, talking book, reimagining the works of Poe, particularly creepy take on the Black Cat and the legendary poem, of course, The Raven, a must for fans of the genre. Larry, we're going. I suppose we're actually into cat's paw territory here, as far as Trek is concerned. Ideally, the stage show would actually wrap up with two teeny, teeny, tiny models who kind of fall to bits, basically, and people say that's Sylvia and Kolob in their natural forms. Anyway, that's crossing too many genres. But Larry, from what you've heard from Clive there, does this seem as though we could be talking a transatlantic hit here as well as the London stage show?
Oh, you'd have to bring it over. Yes, yeah. Yes.
You see, the message is going out from Los Angeles to your good self, Dr. Clive Jackson, the Reverend Dr. Clive Jackson. You already need to be thinking about the American audience here.
Wonderful. Well, of course, there's an American musical link already. The Lou Reed did an album based on Edgar Allan Poe's work. So, America. I think American and English audience are both used to Poe's work. We all know it. It's all interweaved in fairy tales and dark stories through our childhood to the present. So we would love to take it to America. We would love to if we got that far.
Larry, were you a fan of Edgar Allan Poe? I'm sure he would have loved to have worked in the lines Painfully Beautiful into at least one of his short stories.
Well, not a huge, huge fan, but I mean, an overt fan, but certainly I'm familiar. We read all of his works, and Casca Modelato and The Raven.
A macabre, surreal tale of murder, mystery, and Machiavellian intrigue. I think just actually using alliteration to that extent deserves a nod of the hat. That's fantastic.
So much effect on horror and science fiction before those were terms, before they were buzzwords. Yeah. Right.
I mean, and Clive, in terms of your own particular, because this is a whole new aspect of your career, was this something which, when the offer came up, do you think, yes, this is destiny calling? Or was it a case of, oh, what the hey? Okay, I'll do it there.
Well, there were a couple of other actors, you know, in the offing for it, and I felt very flattered that I got picked and chosen for it. Incredibly flattered. I've done a few bits of acting, a few little bits here and there, but this is by far the biggest thing. And of course, my first reaction was, this is a massive, massive challenge for me. You know, it is, you know, going into new frontiers. Talking of Star Trek, I'm boldly going where I've never been before. And I think that the challenge really is the thing that appealed to me. I mean, we're still gigging, you know, we're still playing. It was our busiest year last year for 25 years. I don't know why, maybe it's just after 25 years we've learned to do it properly. I don't know, but we were still gigging. So to have this coming alongside, and there's another couple of little bits of acting in the offing, to have this alongside it for me is wonderful. You know, I'm really, really so happy to be taking part in it.
Katie, you were saying that you kind of grew up with Spirit in the Sky and Doctor of the Medics, did you not?
My dad's a real sort of prog rock fam, so yes.
Prog rock and more, indeed. Dance to the beats of psychedelia, glam rock, punk, look and lyrics, pre-goth nods to Victorian Dickensian fashion and imagery. It's very true, actually.
Where was that little bit from? That's another lovely little bit. You've got some wonderful words there to describe me. I could stay on air all day.
It's always important, as Larry Nemeczek will endorse, that we kind of get things sorted out on this perspective. You know, and apart from that, it's critical from that point of view. Larry,
we'd be mistook here if we didn't mention that Jeffrey Combs, who's played some wonderful guest characters on Star Trek over the years, has a one-man Edgar Allan Poe show called Nevermore that he does at times. It's wonderful if anyone ever gets a chance to catch him when he's doing that.
Absolutely. And Jeffrey, well, just share with us some of the characters he's actually portrayed, Larry, because I think he's been everything from an Andorian to a Ferengi, as far as I know.
But he's played things under the mask. No, Runt the Ferengi, but Wayun the Vorta
on DS9,
and Shran and Andorian on Enterprise. Yeah. He's just a great guy, and he's one of the Brat Pack.
Actually, it has to be said, that's probably something which Doctor and the Medics needs to incorporate, possibly an Andorian or indeed a Ferengi, you know, and with the Vorta, you know, obviously subservience to the Deep Space Nine ethos, etc. They could well be. It's a thought. It's
the Ferengi greed, and that's quite Poe.
I'm not even going to talk about the notion of playing a 400-year-old dead Baron in the film The Howling. But did you manage to touch base with Dee Wallace or Patrick McNee at all in The Howling, or was that a case of, no, they did my role before they actually arrived?
No, they did my role before I actually arrived.
Never mind.
But, that was a good fun one to do. As I say, I think I was typecast as a 400-year-old dead Baron, but there we are, yeah.
Well, you know, look at it this way. If you were around, well, you obviously were under the 80s, but if that sort of theme was around, I'm sure that the folk who are looking to get the next generation of Star Trek together, they would have actually incorporated your character straight away, Larry, into the sort of systems there. Clive, are you kind enough to stay around for a few more minutes? Because I'd like to actually open up this latest incarnation of Doctor and the Medics. You spin me round. People might recall from Dead or Alive's. This is the whole new world for that sort of point of view. Larry, are you ready to cast your musical ear over Doctor and the Medics' latest incarnation, You Spin Me Round Like a Record?
Oh, I can't wait.
Katie?
Sounds good to me.
Clive, would you like to introduce it so I can then press the button in due time?
In virtual format. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Siren Radio, and this is Doctor and the Medics with You Spin Me Round.
Watch out, here I come.
Of course, there was a time where I felt there's never going to be a remake of "It Used to Be Me" right round like a record because people didn't actually know what records were. Thankfully, with the vinyl revolution coming back into town, we now know exactly what spinning round like a record is all about. Genius. Larry, what did you make of the Doctor's latest incarnation of musical treats for us?
I love that. I had little overtones of B-52s there. Yeah. But no, you can't. Don't ever give up on the analog.
Never give up on the analog, Captain. They cannot take it. It's no good. Katie?
It was reminding me of something else. And exactly, Larry, thank you very much indeed. Because it was kind of niggling my brain.
A little Love Shack. Bit of Love Shack sneaking in there.
Absolutely.
But scary Love Shack for Valentine's Day. Because that's what the Reverend Dr. Clive Jackson talks about from that. Clive, awesome stuff from that point of view. How can people actually follow your fantastic work with respect to Facebook? Obviously, go to the events, www.thebloomsbury.com/events/run, etc. You find out details about the whole Edgar Allan Poe reimagined by Mike Bennett with the awesome Clive the Doctor as narrator. There are people, Clive, who would say, is this not just like the narrator in Rocky Horror Show? It's better!
Well, it's not just narrating. I'm acting all the parts as well. So I'm kind of narrating myself as the actor in it. Wow. So it's, so it's a bit more than just another narrator. I'm actually launching into 26 different characters during it all, and they're all in my head now slowly, as we've been working on it slowly, they're all now getting in my head, and I'm waking up in the middle of the night and hearing them talk to me, all very Poe-ish.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it's like the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror come to life. It's amazing.
Absolutely. I should also mention the talking book at the moment, which is doing very well, which is, I've actually got the author here, Mike Bennett. Who's published it, Mike? One Media IP, and it's doing very well and got some great reviews. So if people want a little sneak taste of it, they can have a listen to the audiobook in advance.
A taste off piste for a teaste. It's fantastic. It's genius stuff.
Thank you, yeah.
It was almost Poe-like. I don't know if you got it there, Larry, from the point of view of just the disembodied voice of the author there, Mike Bennett, is there sort of singing on the whole. He deserves his own piece. Time allows, we'll do a full feature with Mike as well as the reimagining of this. But as ever, we need to go back to LA to pick up Phil Linus. We've got heaps of stuff to talk about with respect to Discovery. Actually, apropos of that, Clive, have you been following Star Trek Discovery? Have you kind of seen the latest incarnation of the Trek universe and so on?
I catch so little television these days. Yeah. But I do have a son who doesn't live at home, and when he comes back, it all gets recorded, and so I do slowly but surely have to work my way through it. I'm about 2 years behind, I would guess, of where everybody else is on the planet.
So you're pretty much on J.J. Abraham sort of scenario, really. Star Trek Beyond, really. That's the sort
there
of
we are, yes.
That's okay. It's been.
But I've got to say, I mean, I was a child of the original, the very, very original series, and the whole concept of Star Trek and everything that's followed.
In which case, Clive, I simply have to hand over now to Larry Nemeczek to actually channel his inner Dr. McCoy, because Larry has actually portrayed Bones McCoy in films, and they are awesome sort of lines. Larry, can I invite you to ask the Reverend Dr. Clive Jackson from Doctor and the Medics those last two questions, please?
I'm a doctor, not a
he's a doctor, not an interviewer. Has he had a reasonably interesting telephonic link, and can he return sometime? Off you go.
Yes, have you had a reasonable, more than reasonable telephonic link with us today?
Thank you. Really unexpected and a real honour and a pleasure to be sharing a telephonic link with a legend like yourself. Absolutely.
Well, so I
won't always be here, but this other enlightened crew are, and would you be up for rejoining them at some point in the future?
Absolutely.
Whoa, fantastic.
I feel that?
Exactly. They said it was going to be a bit like House of Frankenstein, getting Trek and Doctor and Medics together in the same room. It's a whole new universe. Not a mirror one either.
Life is showing.
felt it was only right that we actually calmed the situation down a wee bit with a tad of Diana Ross with Theme from Mahogany. Particularly, Larry, as we have been seeing not one, not two, four fabulous pages of the latest edition of Star Trek, the official magazine, which has come through now. And indeed, the classic question that was put forward in terms of keeping a lid on the captain's log. A whole range of sort of key things there. Robin's question, what do we know about how often and what discretion captains have in syncing their logs to central data repositories? How hard is it to lose all record of a mission, encounter, medical breakthrough or the like? And the response, Larry, quite simply, awesome. I mean, Katie just could barely take her hands off the magazine, just on that basis alone.
it was the most scintillating digital future industry answer you could ever.
Yeah, right. Well, I figured, look, at the end of the day, we could have actually gone digital on this, but let's keep that real paper copy there, those glossy paper signs that, you know, somehow make it a whole new world. And even Picard preferred the book in many occasions, you know, so the book is there for magical reasons too.
And isn't there that wonderful moment in Discovery with, is that an actual book?
Is that,
oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. An actual book, precisely. Which brings us neatly round to season finale time. The 15 shows have come, they've gone, we've been there, we've gone, we've returned, we've got the Spore Drive, and we've seen the Enterprise! Yes, spoiler alert, NCC 1701. I could almost see that notion when I saw the NCC, the registration code coming through, and suddenly, where do we go? Do we see the half-brother that has been spoken about oft times by, you know, Sarek's other child, other sibling? Do we mention a cyborg? What did you make of it, Larry? I mean, the season is wrapped now. I'm going to go straight off the bat and say I think it deserved a hearty 8.5 overall for me. 8.5 out of 10.
I said so many times that this has been almost like three series in one as far as the tone because of the different people handling it, and it never stopped moving. It's almost like you got in for a taxi drive and you changed drivers two or three times without the car stopping. But they managed to land the taxi. I don't think there were too many dry eyes in the house there at the end. I don't know much of a tease that's going to be going forward, but they say that's where they always intended to end up the season, is to glimpse the Enterprise at the end, even though it would be Captain Pike.
Yeah, which of course, yeah, I mean, for me,
and the music, they used the original series theme over
the end credit. Katie, obviously we don't give too many spoilers in this particular instance, but where have you reached in your personal voyage of discovery?
They've just freed the tardigrade, so I am...
Ooh, wow.
So Ripper has just...
we'll have to go into a completely different part of this conversation, Larry. I mean, Lord above, you know, it's just a tardigrade time.
It's kind of fun watching it, knowing a bit more about the backstory about the production of the show and the issues that it faced sort of during its gestation, I guess. And actually, whether I'm seeing things there knowing that, or whether I'm looking for those things, or whether I'm more accepting of those things knowing... Or perhaps I'm slightly more cynical in terms of knowing those things. I'm not sure, but it's certainly interesting to watch a show that I know a little bit about development of.
With all this excitement and thinking we're doing Phileas, of course, we've forgotten to go back to Graham Harper. We will do that in a matter of moments. BAFTA award-winning Graham Harper.
Graham,
I know, it's too much. As we're slap bang in the middle of this thing called Ash Wednesday... It's Valentine's Day as well, but it's coalesced from that sort of point of view. Larry, is there any particular musical choice you'd like us to work through, or would you be happy with a bit of Sting?
Oh, I'm always good for Sting. My gosh, you caught me flat-footed.
Well,
sure.
Here we comes. We'll be right back. sage words indeed. Gordon Sumner, former schoolteacher and erstwhile pop star Sting, of course, doing his magical thing there, more of which later. Graham Harper is back with us. How are you, Graham? Oh, we had hoped he'd be back with us. Are you there, Graham Harper? No, he's obviously not. We clearly haven't connected from that sort of point of view. We've had a little chat. Do you know, Larry, I'll tell you what. Larry, have a chat with the delightful Katie. Katie will quiz you on all manner of things whilst I try and actually sort out the warp drive nacelles here. Because, you know, sometimes you put this faith in things and you think, is it going to connect? Is it not? We'll get it sorted.
I can't imagine the problem. I was just thinking, though, that's how interesting you went with Set Them Free after the tardigrade mention
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you so. See, exactly.
He's
exactly.
That skilled.
Sounds good.
Well, you know, it's important. Katie, over to you.
Is there more Discovery to come after the end of this season?
There is. They have announced a season 2. The writers have been on it since after the holidays. But they now with this new model, the streaming model, they're saying not until 2019 will it actually air or stream, I think. And so we have at least 8-9 months at least to get through. All the people that just got used to having live, fresh, weekly Star Trek have to just wait a little longer now.
So what else is happening in the world of Trek to keep us going?
What is not happening in the world of Trek, honestly? Well, the Trek files on a weekly basis. Sorry.
Oh, well, there's that. I was going to say there are the novels and the comic books that are now out that are more coordinated with the show than they've ever been. But thank you, Alex. Yes, that whole everything, a Twitter we were talking about with the Next Generation that didn't happen. The lost premise.
Let's turn this week. This is really focusing the whole matter because we've got our ace award-winning director Graham Harper back with us now. How are you, Graham?
I'm very well, thank you. Hi.
We started doing these radio shows back in the 1980s when you were doing award-winning Doctor Who episodes and so on. Did you ever fancy? I mean, if the offer had ever come across to actually direct an episode of Star Trek, would you actually say, "Yeah, I'll go with that"?
I would have run across. I'd have been there before they asked.
Exactly.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh no, it's a great show. I mean, it's got better and better, but the old ones were brilliant.
And looking at the sort of descriptors that we're actually having, because, I mean, Larry, just for the benefit of any late-coming listeners here, or indeed for Graham, who might not have caught the whole thing, would you just share how this officers and crew of Star Trek The Next Generation, this file that you talked about in the Star Trek files, which comes from the Roddenberry archives, how it kind of manifested? And I still can't get over Cadet Helen Joyce, painfully beautiful, still fighting the timeless battle of trying to be taken seriously while looking as lovely as she does. It's the story of Graham Harper's life in so many ways.
Painfully beautiful.
The paper that
morning was when Paramount was... This was about the first revival after the original series, and Paramount was determined to finally... It was the time was right. It was 1986, so... It was the 20th anniversary. Star Trek IV was the best ever movie globally. The local stations were demanding more than 80 shows after 20 years to rerun because it was making more money, more popular than ever. Gene Roddenberry, the creator, was just waffling on coming back. And they sat down with a writer-producer named Greg Strangis, who came up with this premise we're all oogling over. And we're having a lot of fun with it, but it really wasn't that bad considering all the realm of how bad a sequel without its creator could be. Mm-hmm. And it was what coaxed Gene finally off dead center to say, okay, I'll come back. But I was lucky enough to find it once Rod Roddenberry asked us to do this podcast about shedding light on his father's papers and letters and memos that we really haven't had been privy to. And this is, of the first 15, 16 episodes, this is clearly the one that I knew would be the most jaw-droppingly news-making. It just makes everyone stop and go, what? You know, it's the ultimate what if.
I will send you the link, Graham, but just for the benefit of our listener at present, Captain Ron, a lead character of Vulcan, a veteran of countless missions, not all of them peaceful. Captain Ron, I still think that it's an odd name, really.
It works on paper when it's RH.
Yes.
But when you say it...
Vital, important fleet leader, decorated for extraordinary valour in the early stages of the 10-year war, which has been raging between the Federation and the Klingon Empire. But he's killed in the pilot episode. A tragic moment. But then he's not dead, because actually he continues as part of the Crystal Controls ship's library, which references a complete pictorial history of Starfleet and Star Trek exploits, which enables, as indeed, Larry, you alluded to, lots of sort of clips from past video to be... It's like Irwin Allen's dream, surely. You know, let's use past clips.
Financially brilliant.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm mindful, actually, Graham, of the time I was privileged to actually see what would have been with Doctor Who The Dark Dimension, the 40th anniversary line, which had possibility of David Bowie as the Master. But that was good. And this one, just on the script, you think, seriously? Where are we connecting on this? And I think, actually, via the medium of Skype, we're also able to actually welcome Phil Leonis as well now. So that's two directors that will be with us. Phil, are you also there via the medium of Skype?
I am. I got tired of waiting. So
hello, Phil.
So let's do this whole package. We've got Katie Doyle in the studio here. We've got BAFTA award-winning director Graham Harper in London, and we've got Larry Nemeczek, Dr. Trek in Los Angeles, as indeed is ace director Phil Leonis, who I've been regularly singing his praises about with the Newport Film Festival, which you can hear about tomorrow morning.
That's a lineup.
I feel so I can go pack up and go home now.
It's
basically.
It's like the panel. It from Inside awesome. Number 9, but better. I mean, it's still my heart.
Oh, we're going to be in trouble now.
Phil and Larry, because I've been singing the praises of Graham's directorial work with Inside Number 9, I think we found a way in which, even in Los Angeles, although you can't get BBC iPlayer, you can actually see this episode. So, gentlemen...
I think it's better, though, if you don't. I mean, I've been thinking about this, and the legend only grows because it's unavailable in the States. It's as if the wall that Trump built is metaphorically blocking all art and culture from entering New Shores.
Larry, any thoughts on that? The sort of Trump notion? I mean, Donald Trump is captain of the Enterprise. He could have been Captain
Ron. No.
Blimey, 10-year war.
The new show couldn't be any worse.
Oh. Larry, in terms of the, I mean, because I don't think, Phil, you've picked up on this officers and crew of Star Trek The Next Generation, because I know that you would appreciate a line called painfully beautiful. Larry, what was your favourite part of this file that you unearthed literally just a matter of weeks ago when you actually came across this whole thing? Hello, Larry, are you there? Are you still with us? Do you know, well, obviously you did. There was an attempt to actually connect Phil and Larry, but clearly with two participants, it's just gone too crazy on the whole system.
Might have been what happened, because you went straight to my voicemail. My phone never even rang or anything, so...
Yeah. Oh, well, never mind. It's okay.
Skyped in. So he beamed out when I was beaming in. I mean, it's...
it's not kind
spooky.
Of...
Quantum universe, alternate universe, what of Lazarus?
Very so. Anyway, right, Graham, let's give it a bit more structure for the final routines. Any thoughts that you'd like? What should Phil prepare himself for as far as when he finally gets to see the awesome and the winner is episode of Inside Number 9?
I think he will be just as horrified as I was when I first read the script, but then I think that probably happened. I know many people who have sat on juries, on juries have actually said some of that was too close to the truth, which I found really, really strange.
Exactly. Now, I'm not sure whether this might have actually bumped Phil out and put Larry Nemeczek back in, but Larry, are you back with us now?
I feel like I've been bumped and put back in.
You know, somehow you honestly just went, and Phil, are you still with us, or have you actually gone out of the system? Yeah, this is clearly what's happening. Phil goes on hold. The system cannot handle two
Skypes
at the same time.
Spock, isn't it?
Exactly. Anyway, I'll tell you what, let's ask Larry those last two questions, because it's pretty much at that time. Katie, would you like to deliver the questions to Larry, and then we'll try and get Phil back?
Larry, have you had a reasonably interesting internetophonic, is that a word, link with us today?
Internetophonic, I like that. It's good. Larry is not answering at all, basically.
Larry's link was so
because Phil's come on board.
Overwhelmed.
Graham, sometimes you're producing material which is just awesomely amazing in its own way. And we'll assume that Larry has actually headed off now. We'll assume that actually Phil Leonis is coming back to work with the whole system, and good things will actually happen. So that's all we can actually say. Unless we try and resume call. You know, sometimes I don't want to go down this line. Katie, any questions for Graham?
Oh, gosh, what's next, Graham? What are you directing at the moment? And
I'm not. I'm waiting on two projects to come alive and get the go-ahead. One's in Romania, would you believe, and the other is a series which I'm hoping I'll do the pilot episode for sometime this year.
But otherwise, I'm actually not actively looking for a lot of work at this moment because I really should stop. I'm getting old.
Oh, no!
Yes, it's
no.
true. But I'm hanging out for some really good stuff, like Inside Number 9 was fabulous to do.
It was awesome and tremendous. And we say, have you, apart from having a reasonably interesting telephonic link for us today, has it been okay for you, Graham Harper?
It's been smashing. It's always smashing.
Yeah, there we are. who knows whether we'll speak to Larry or to Phil before the end of the show. We'll keep their channels open. The hailing frequencies are open. We're just waiting for contacts to be made. But Graham will definitely return in the very near future. Graham, we salute you. We won't do Sting for this little lion thing. Who knows what could actually happen on that sort of bit. Any particular thoughts from yourself as Professor Jason Whittaker passes by and gives us the Vulcan salute? It was honestly the Vulcan salute after a fashion.
At least it wasn't the Vulcan hello.
No. Nice. I see exactly what you did there. I'll tell you what, let's go for Diana Ross. Graham, take care. We'll speak soon.
Bye bye, Katie.
In the trade, this is referred to as a bit of a cliffhanger ending, because Larry has actually just written, "Is your chat open? You never lost me. I could and still do hear you. Never interrupted, but for some reason you could not hear me." Can you speak, Larry? We might be speaking. We don't hear anything. But Phil Leonis is on another line. And Phil, you are back with us because we've used that old transatlantic thing to connect with you. So 2 out of 3, as Meatloaf once said, isn't too traumatic. How are you anyway?
It's like you're playing, what is that, what is the shell, is it the shell game? What do they call that, where you've got to try to figure out which one has
It is the shell game, and we haven't even had a chance to talk about the virtual world of Langley on the X-Files, where if you can hear me and see me, am I dead? Am I there? It's another classic. But that's for the X-Files.
That's old news, man. That's months ago.
Yeah. Well, you might be fast, but for us in Britain, it's just being released on Channel 5. You know? It's so young.
You mean like how we have to wait? So we have to wait for Graham's award-winning show?
Yes.
You have to wait
for
that.
It's the way forward. Larry, we do salute you. If you could hear us, we hopefully will connect with you again in the very near future. As Katie will test to, the line seems to be there.
Two participants.
It seems to suggest that Skype is there. Hopefully it'll be good for Phil in the morning when we connect with that.
I got a very angry, very officious, bureaucratic-sounding AI telling me they have put you on hold. And I couldn't figure out what to do. So I buried my head in the sand, I dug a ditch, and I filled it with gasoline. I didn't know what to do.
Okay. A reminder, the Trek Files on Facebook is the place to find out all of these magical things. That will still not let us down, because that's what Mark Zuckerberg would want in many ways. I sense that would come across. Phil, have you heard any of the programme this evening, or has it all been a complete blur of calls coming through and officious lines coming down the line? You're thinking, what, where, who is, what's happening?
Yes, that the latter, but I don't think that that's probably an unrealistic impression of what the overall show's been like.
No. Well, I don't know. Let's face it, we went from compassionate Lincoln Big Soup, Anna Lewis in a Chinese takeaway in Jersey, William Coles in Edinburgh, Graham Harper Inside Number 9, awards ceremonies, Welsh zipwire challenges with Eva MacDonald. She managed to survive and live. The Reverend Dr. Clive Jackson from Doctor and the Medics, with, of course, news of Possessed, the awesome Larry Nemeczek, who has indeed typed he did enjoy it and will return. Yay, Larry! And
finally filled in as kind of paves the way for tomorrow after all manner of bits and pieces. I didn't even squeeze in Mike Dooley. He's coming back, though. Mike Dooley is back on the fortnight today, actually.
Oh,
Mike Dooley returns, 28th of February. He's booked in for the return of the Dooley Meister. Any comments for
you? I want to go ziplining in Wales.
Yes.
How do we arrange that on my next
You
trip?
Have to go to a place that Alex loves saying the name of.
Battersea Coed. Exactly. It's almost time for you to do all manner of awesome. Well, actually, you've had your Los Angeles Breakfast Club. What was the Valentine's Day theme this year, Phil Leonis?
Oh, this was interesting. It was a professor from the University of Philosophical Research, which is here in Los Feliz, and a school that was founded by Manly P. Hall, a very famous philosopher and scholar, but also someone who looms large in the lore of the conspiracy world. But this professor was speaking about mythic couples throughout history, so it was fascinating.
We look forward to hearing the monthly podcast of same in the very near future, but now, as the time is approaching the end of the hour, as it sort of comes to the end, Phil, will you be back tomorrow morning with your weather forecast from Los Angeles?
Oh, of course, I would not miss that.
I can share with you that the movies that Richard Fitzwilliams will be discussing, Black Panther and Lady Bird.
Yeah. Both are animal themes, apparently.
Well, there you go. And we got news of the Newport Orange County International Film Festival, which we'll play for you because we did a pre-record today. That's it. We're pretty much out of here. Katie, have you enjoyed your time on the production today?
It's been fab.
Excellent. Hannah, be well. Tessa Snart, be well. I'm sure all will connect in the fullness of time. Phil Leonis, be well. Can we all actually wrap up with that whole classic line, the truth is out there? A one, a two, a three.
The truth is out there.
The truth is out there.
How got you to let me down?
I got you, you got me, I got
but
you.
I've got you to let me down.
If I let you down, you self-destruct.
Only you can understand why.
Only you can understand.
FM.
FM.
Online.
Mobile.
This is
Siren Radio. Lincoln.